a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Paulson?
Here.
Venner? Cronin?
Here.
Kirkaby?
Here.
Foreign present.
I am down here.
Thank you. We'd like to welcome the internet listeners and remind everyone that your cell phones need to be turned off or on vibrate. If you are here to testify, make sure you sign in at the podium and wear the appropriate badges for who you're testifying for. We'd like to have the pages come up and introduce themselves, if they would.
My name is J.C. Denner, and I am from Aberdeen.
Welcome. Thanks for all you do. From Pierre. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Move.
Second.
Who was that?
Moved by Roush. Second by Munsterman. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Minutes are approved. We're going to change the slate here a little bit. We're going to have move House Bill 1050 to the top of the docket today due to the fact of a hostile witness. Representative Kirkaby.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of House Local Governments Committee. I am Representative Mark Kirkaby from Rapid City. I present to you for your consideration this morning House Bill 1050, which specifically, and it's kind of a simple word change, is an act to revise the voting requirements for the County Board of Adjustment. Just want to preface my quick testimony that I know that there's several members of Local Government Committee that do have local government experience, and I want to throw myself into that honorable position as well. This was brought to me, this bill, from a commissioner that I had the privilege on serving with for a half a dozen years back in Pennington County. Specifically, I'm not trying to by any means undermine the value, the intent, or the citizen involvement that we do have from any board of commissioners. As it is sitting right now, that super majority vote in specifically my home county of Pennington County, I think that same scenario can be included in the vast majority of counties that we do have in the great state of South Dakota. Now, majority should and will always rule on any governing decision. But as is sitting right now, that in fact, that minority vote, that single vote on a no can actually be the majority vote to end any discussion or specifically a landowner seeking a variance to put on an addition to his farm building or that kind of scenario with the variance. And the best history that I can give you, Mr. Chairman, is in Pennington County, when you do have our Board of Adjustment, certainly is the five sitting current Board of Commissioners. If there is, in fact, an absence, which does, in fact, happen on a pretty regular basis when you meet every other week, you need 100% support or vote from that Board of Adjustments to actually obtain a variance. Or, in fact, if you do have that one absent county commissioner and you do have one non-supportive vote or that one person, that is the minority vote, that one red vote can in fact squash that variance that a proposed property owner is seeking that support from the county commissioners from. Again, Mr. Chairman, I certainly am not trying to undermine the value and the importance of any local decisions that are made from any county board of adjustments or more specifically, when a variance is sought. I do believe that having that majority vote, which, unless it involves dollars, is the same identical circumstance that we as state legislators are honored and privileged to participate in. Again, if in fact there is an absent county commissioner, or if in fact there is two opposing votes on a variance, when you do have that five quorum, in fact, that minority vote can in fact put the squelch or that plans to that property owner. And I do believe, in all fairness within our process, that undermining the scenario that we have and embracing the opportunity to still support majority rules, I would hope that that will never be discounted in any local government that we do have. And I'm quite certain that there will be some individuals that are not all fired up about this proposal on House Bill 1050. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I do present myself to be, and I don't want to say a target because that's kind of an awkward terminology to use anymore, but I place myself at the hands, the discretion, and the disposal of House local governments, and I'd be honored to take any questions that you might have from this committee. With that, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1050? Any other proponents? Hearing none, we will close proponent testimony and ask if there are there any opponents to House Bill 1050. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Jay Gilbertson. I'm the manager of the East Dakota Water Development District. I'm their registered lobbyist. I'm here in opposition to 1050. The Water Development District, in our case, which covers 11 counties along the eastern side of the state, has a long history of working with our respective counties through the ordinance process to establish, in our case, protective measures for our critical groundwater resources. Ordinances are in place up and down the Big Sioux River Basin that limit activities over the aquifer that represent a potential threat or hazard.
Excuse me, Jay. Excuse me. Would you pull the mic a little closer to you?
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
All right. I've always been told my voice carries. That's no problem. Anyway, the district, working in cooperation with our counties and the local ordinance authority, have, I think, been very successful in protecting these critical water resources. The counties have, in essence, adopted rules and ordinances that say there are certain practices that are unacceptable and should be avoided to the extent possible. Under existing code, if special extenuating circumstances exist for which a true hardship is present, the County Board of Adjustment has the option to waive that. But as with most things, you know, this is, you're basically asking to bend or sort of get around the existing law. This should not be a trivial situation, not to say a majority vote is a trivial thing, but there's a high bar, and it's there for a reason. And we would encourage you to continue that. Speaking on my own behalf, as a resident of Brookings, I had the privilege of serving both on the City Planning Commission and also on the Board of Adjustment, of which I was the chair for a number of years. And when someone comes forward with a request for a variance, if it in fact there is a true hardship, I don't recall a time when that variance wasn't granted. I do, however, recall numerous instances when what was brought before the Board of Adjustment was a desire and a want, a failure to read all the rules, if you will, ahead of time. It wasn't a crisis. It was simply trying to make up. And in most instances, those applications were denied, I think, with cause. It's consistent with what is in the code. If the problem in Pennington County is one of when the one of the members is unavailable, county or the state law already provides 11-2-50 for the appointment of a first and second alternate, something we had in the city of Brookings. If one of the primary five members of the board was not going to be available, there was a person waiting in the wings. They were notified, they were provided the information, and they could come and participate. I don't recall a situation where we weren't able to hold a meeting for want of a full board. And so there's that. And I would also lastly point out, if you feel this is appropriate to a way to deal with the county variance request, there is identical language under the municipal code. They, too, call for the same supermajority vote, two-thirds vote. And if you're going to change one, I guess I'd put to you, why not change them both? There's really no difference in the situation. So again, I think the problem that can be addressed in Pennington County through the appointment of alternates, and I would ask at this time that you take a no vote, I guess, on the bill, to defeat the bill, and move forward, and I will be happy to stick around and answer any questions.
Thank you, Jay.
Any other opponent testimony for House Bill 1050? Nobody else wants to take a shot at him. All right. We'll close opponent testimony and offer Representative a short rebuttal.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly will be brief. The opposition certainly did relay some very valid concerns, but specifically in comparing county governments to that of a municipality, there certainly is a numbers game. There's certainly on a city council, or more specifically back in Rapid City, there's double the numbers. I mean, there's 10 active city council people. And in fact, in a time measure, the mayor of Rapid City certainly has the opportunity to vote on any ties. So I guess just comparing the same governing boards is really not a fair, accurate interpretation of that, just specifically because of the numbers. And in fact, I am aware of the law, that statute that would in fact allow that governing board to appoint a replacement, in fact, that there is not sufficient numbers to address that. From a comfort level, I certainly would entrust the value, the judgment, and the opinion, more specifically that experience, from somebody that is, in fact, an elected official and has had the opportunity to review various variances prior to that. And in closing, Mr. Chairman, it is the opportunity that to address any local governing board and not compare a county government to that of a municipality, even though the opportunities exist and are very comparable to both government bodies, there certainly is a huge disparity in those opportunities that exist within those governing structures. And just briefly, having that opportunity, any property owner certainly can, when they come in to offer testimony, to hopefully increase their quality of life. When they see only three or four, let's stick with that number, four commissioners in attendance, they realize they need 100% of the vote. They certainly do have the opportunity to say, can we continue this for a couple weeks until your next meeting? That certainly is allowable. But I believe having that consistency, or more specifically, having the value in their time and being able to make that decision when that citizen takes their time to come and hopefully get some action on their cause, I think it does justify honoring their time and their attention to that matter. So, in fact, you can make that decision. Mr. Chairman, members of the local government, I appreciate your time this morning, and I would welcome any questions that may or may not have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative.
Thank you. A question for Representative Kirkaby.
Representative Tornell.
Thank you, sir. Initially, I guess I would ask you how, if we were to pass this bill, how would you envision that you would avoid the gamesmanship that can be played if you envision a five-person commission? You know, Commissioner X doesn't support you. Commissioner X and Y don't support you, but one of them is gone. Then you're going to have your hearing, and all you need is a 3-1 vote, when, in fact, if they were all there, you wouldn't get to two-thirds as it is. How would you address that issue that there could be gamesmanship played?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, it's a very interesting question that you pose. And to be honest with you, because I am lacking that psychology degree on how people actually base their interpretation or going to vote, I really don't have a response for that.
Yes.
Thank you. And that's fine. Secondly, wouldn't you agree that it is possible for, in your scenario, you said there are four commissioners there, that the person, if they did not prevail, could simply request a rehearing?
Mr. Chairman, that is 100% accurate.
Any other questions? Representative Munsterman.
Would you think that the, I'm sorry, Representative Kirkby, would you think that the board size change from like a 5 to a 7 member committee would help solve some of the issues that you talked about?
Representative.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, Representative Munsterman, it's a very good question. I mean, naturally, in the numbers game, the more the merrier, there's no question. I do believe that there, in fact, are a couple of counties in the great state of South Dakota that do, in fact, have differing members. I know that there's also members or within our 66 counties, there is fewer than 5 county commissioners. That is one area that, personally, I think that I would like to avoid and allow that local government, that ability, if they wanted to expand their numbers, I think that would be up to that local citizenry, but it's a very valid question or concern.
Follow-up.
And I'm not that familiar with county law, and so I need to be schooled here. Does the county have, county commissioners have the authority to set up a board of adjustment, or does it have to be the county commissioners?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
In state statute, it is the really what is more defined in state statute is the chairman of that local board of adjustments is, in fact, going to be the chairman of the county commission. And I think it's kind of underwritten that the balance of those individuals serving on the variance board of the board of adjustments will naturally just follow as it will be the balance of that local governing board, which, in fact, is the county commissioners.
Representative Feikert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Representative Kirkby. Can you tell me if are all variances referable to the county commission or to a county commission? In other words, can the county commissioners override what the variance board of adjustment makes a decision on?
Mr. Chairman, if I could take a shot at that. Besides lacking that psychology degree, I'm pleased to inform you that I have very little ability on having that legal mind as well. But more specifically, I'll just refer back home in Pennington County. The Board of Adjustments is, in fact, the Pennington County Board of Commissioners.
Follow up. But in some instances, and I really probably should know the answer to this, so I'm kind of apologize to your Representative Kirkby, probably should know the answer to this, but in some situations, there actually are variance board of adjustment, and then there's planning and zoning boards. Some of them are combined, some of them are separate, and to my knowledge, some of that is referable to the county commission, and if the county commissioners actually have variance board of adjustment and planning and zoning board in combination, those are referable to a board of county commissioners. So I'm just curious as to really, I mean, I'm inclined a little bit to support what you're asking, because if in fact it can be referred to the county commission, then it sort of becomes kind of a non-issue, because a 3-2 vote is going to carry what the county commissioners will prevail. So just for what all that's worth, I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Mr. Chairman, if I could briefly just try to expand on that. There's no question, Representative Feikert, that a planning commission decision, variance or not, certainly goes that following week, if I can say, to the agenda or the docket of that local board of commissioners for the final bite at the apple. That is correct.
Any other questions? Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kirkby, the on a 5-man board, the way I understand it, is if you had a 3 vote, that'd be 60%. A 4 vote is 80%. And a yes would be the 80%. A supermajority, what definition is that?
If I could, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
A supermajority is just a little bit more than majority. Specifically, it is, in essence, that's exactly what it is. It is based on that numbers of that commission. For those counties or county in the great state of South Dakota that do just have three board of commissioners, it's 100%. I mean, there's no swaying on that. Having that specific percentage number, all I can say is on a five-member board, you do, in fact, need four supporting votes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Klocek.
Is it possible to ask a question of Jay Gilbertson?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Gilbertson, in Europe, can you work out a scenario where it would be super advantageous, or do you have any, can you use a previous example of actually something happened with your water district for the protection, the safety, that having this supermajority, this two-thirds vote is a good safety valve, or do you have any real-life scenarios that you can relate to this committee?
Mr. Chairman, I guess the example I would pro-offer in this case, although it hasn't come to fruit yet because we've been pretty lucky with these ordinances, would be in Dual County. Five-member county commission, what have you, ordinance in place to limit potentially hazardous activities over their groundwater supplies. In Dual County, there's a single well field operated by the Brookings Dual Rural Water System. If you do not have your own personal well, if you get water from somebody else, all your water comes from that one location. And that wellhead protection area is protected by these county ordinances. And, again, would suggest that if there's a spot, there's a section of land in all of Dual County that really needs to be protected, it's that little chunk northeast of the city of Clear Lake. And not that it might ever happen, but if, you know, anything that would lower the bar and expose that ground to potential contamination or hazard is what the district is worried about. I don't think the good folks in Dual County are ever going to do that, but you never know. There are adequate protections in place, I think, right now, and I'd just assume they stay there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Gilbertson.
Any further questions? Hearing none, we'll move to committee action and or discussion. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With all due respect to my good friend, Representative Kirkaby, I would move to the 41st day.
Moved by Rausch, seconded by Klocek to the 41st day. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I go back to our simplest forms of government. We start at the township level, and they usually have three-member boards. And so they need a two-thirds vote, a majority vote, to get anything accomplished there. In my past life, I did sit on the County Planning and Zoning Board, and I know what it takes to get those comprehensive plans and to get everything passed and to have a comprehensive plan throughout the district or throughout the municipality, throughout the district, tying in with your county and maybe adjacent counties. And I think it's a dangerous slope when we go just to a simple majority, because the things that are being considered are very serious. And I think a two-thirds majority vote is that little bit of protection that I think is deserved in all of these matters, as frustrating as it can be sometimes. But so I would ask the committee support in a 41st day motion.
Any other comments? Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, and I do certainly appreciate the words of Representative Rausch. More specifically, I think it was a great discussion, a great opportunity. More specifically, for the newer members of this committee, realizing the diverse opportunities that will in fact present itself to us. This was a nice local government option. I do want to encourage this committee members to vote how your instincts, how your guts tell you to do. But more specifically, I want to tell you in full disclosure that if, in fact, I was married to this bill, I would still be giving some proponent testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other? Representative Tolson.
Representative, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kirkby, I appreciate your effort, and thanks for the education here.
Any further comments? Hearing none, we have a motion to defer House Bill 1050 to the 41st day. The clerk will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, nay.
Representative Dielstra?
Aye.
Fighter?
Aye.
Klochek?
Aye.
Magstad?
Aye.
Musterman?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Rausch?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Tornel?
Aye.
House Bill 1050 is deferred to the 41st day. Next up, we will have proponent testimony on House Bill 1044. Any proponents for House Bill 1044? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this morning I'm going to have a couple handouts for you. One is the amendments that we are suggesting.
Just state your name for the record, please.
Okay. This is Tom Jones, representative from District 17, which is Clay and Turner counties. House Bill 1044 is concerns water districts. What we're trying to do here is amend the rules or the requirements for being able to vote in one of these districts, and particularly the one that that we're bringing to mind is the TLC, which is Turner, Clay, and Lincoln counties. And you will have some handouts there showing some of the floodplain there results. The present law has three requirements to be able to vote on this. The first one is you need to be a registered voter in this district. You have to also be a owner of the real property in this district, and you also have to live in the floodplain. We would like to change this, and why we want to do this is because basically no one lives in the floodplain anymore. It's not inhabitable. We have to also remember the floodplain is not a wide area. It's basically along a river, and it's whatever that river decides, and the water flow comes through there and decides to flood. So what we'd like to do is change that law to have the rule being that you have to have be a registered voter. You have to be the owner of real property, and I'm referring to page 2 that you have in the handout, starting with line 16. Basically, a qualified voter of the district is a person who is a registered voter, a resident of the district, and any county of which the portion of the district is located, and an owner of real property located within the district. For this purpose of this section, the term owner of the real property includes any person enlisted as the owner of the real property on in the records of the Office of the Register of Deeds in the county in which the real property is located. So that's what we're trying to do, is make sure that we have some legal voters. Right now, these districts do not have any legal voters if they do not live in the floodplain. The second part of what we'd like to amend is concerning a contract for deeds. Right now, the contract for deed, it says that if a person is buying this under a contract for deed, the owner or the purchaser and the seller both have a vote. And what we want to do is we want to do this according to the basic rules of real estate, because two people should not have the right to vote on one piece of property. And what we want to do there is to say that only the purchaser of the land shall have the vote concerning the district. I did take this over to the DENR, and if I pronounce his name improperly, please forgive me, but it's Joe Nodasenik, an attorney for there, reviewed the changes, and the DENR did not see any problems with this bill. I have a copy of that letter if any of you would so like to see that. In that letter, he also requested that maybe I should run this through the Secretary of State. And I did go down and meet with the Secretary of State, and he had no problem with this bill. Are there any questions, Mr. Chairman?
We'll take some more proponent testimony and have you back up if there are any questions. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1044? Welcome, Senator.
Thank you very much for having me here. As you'll see, I'm the Senate sponsor and primarily interested in listening to the testimony today. And so I'm here, but I'm also here to congratulate all new members of the legislature. I look around, having been here for a long time, and wonder if we need help. And I'm pretty proud of this representative who just presented you with a package. He did his homework. He went and talked to the people in state government that made a difference. He got their approval before he came here. We don't always do our homework as well as he did, and I'm pretty proud of him. And I do believe sometimes we've questioned whether term limits work, and yet we watch new people all the time do a perfect job. If there's any further way that I can help with this, any questions you may have of me, I'd be glad to do it. But the discussion up till now has been well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any other proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jay Gilbertson, East Dakota Water Development District. 1044 drew my interest because we have several water development districts within the East Dakota Water Development District, and one in particular has many of the same problems and issues that TLC does down in the Vermilion Basin. It's the Brookings-Hamlin Sioux Water Project District. It's a land-rich but resident-poor area that frequently has difficulty getting, you know, enough people to actually hold an annual meeting and elect board members and so forth. And I know that is the intent of the changes that are being proposed. A question that did come up from one of the members of that water project district when we were discussing this was the proposal that in addition to simple land ownership, you also had to be a resident of a county in which the district exists. And in the case of the Brookings-Hamlin Sioux District, it runs through Brookings County and stops at the Moody County line. And the question was asked, well, what if I live across the road in Moody County but own land in Brookings County in the district? Where does that fit? And so it's a question of having made the decision to go to land ownership is what makes you a qualified voter. Why put restrictions on that? And I did visit with Representative Jones, and I think that we have agreed that perhaps the restrictions are a bit of a problem. You still have to come to the annual meeting, and it's unlikely someone who lives in Dubai is going to hop on a plane to rush to Centerville to attend the, you know, 30-minute annual meeting of the TLC group. And so I have what I hope will be viewed as a friendly amendment to the bill, which will essentially On page 216, of course, I gave away my copies, strike the requirement that the owner of the property reside in one of the counties involved in the district. So the end result is you need to be a registered voter and an owner of real property within the district. And a copy of that amendment is circulating. This doesn't affect the bill, I believe, in any way, shape, or form. It gets them to where they need to be in terms of creating a larger pool of people from whom to draw directors and participants in TLC, as well as the other water project districts that are out there. And with that, I will step aside and be available for questions. If there are
Thank any. You.
Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Hearing none, if it would be appropriate, we could have Representative Jones up to address the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this is a friendly amendment, and the board and myself, we have no problem with such.
All right, thank you so much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I would. Representative Kirkby.
I'd move Amendment 1044 FB.
Second.
Moved by Representative Kirkby, seconded by Representative Torno. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, this will be a voice vote. All those in favor of Amendment 1044 FB signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Motion passes. Any committee discussion and or action on amended House Bill 1044? Representative Torno.
Do we have an opportunity for questions?
Yes, sorry.
I have a question for Representative Jones. Representative Jones, I like the bill. My one concern or issue would be on page 2, the contract for deed issue. Was there any thought of saying that it's either the purchaser or the seller could vote?
Mr. Chairman, when speaking with people deal with the real estate loss, just like, for example, a farmer leases land to a lessee, the lessee assumes the ability to be able to allow hunting rights, for example, on that land. The same way we feel that under real estate law that the lessee should have the right to the vote and does have the right.
Any other questions from the committee? Hearing none, I would entertain committee Representative Klocek.
Thank you. Briefly, and I guess this would be directed to Mr. Gilbertson, if that'd be all right, very briefly. Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Gilbertson. And this scenario has got me kind of concerned. A gentleman owns 5,000 acres in this rural water district, or he moved out of the district. He's not no longer, he moved to town and retired, but that town that he retired in is not in this water district. So since he moved out and his residence is outside the district, even though he owned a substantial amount of property in the district, he would not be allowed to vote. Am I correct in that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, or Representative Klocek, under the provisions of this bill, that individual would be allowed to vote. Under the current law, you need to be a resident of the district. The scenario you've described, that individual would not be under the proposed changes in 1044. They would be allowed to vote.
Any other questions? No further questions. We will close questioning of House Bill 1044. And would open up entertaining for a motion.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Fikert. Representative Fikert moves to pass.
Second.
Second by Representative Torno. Any comments? No comments? Okay. The motion before us is due pass on House Bill 1044. Clerk will call the roll.
Yes.
Fikert?
Aye.
House Bill 1044 does have a due pass and will be sent to the floor. Thank you very much, Representative. Moving on to House Bill 1051. Is there any proponent testimony for House Bill 1051? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. Good to be here. Representative Elaine Elliott from District 2, Brown and Spink County. The bill that I will present to you today is pretty simple. It requires the county auditors to get their voter registration information and voter history in to the Office of the Secretary of State by July 15th after the primary. And I have December 10th after the general election. However, I just talked to the Secretary of State. He suggested that we change it to the 15th to make it so that it's even all the way across. So I don't have the amendment here. He said it's a very small thing, and we probably could do that by striking that out. Some counties have been lagging behind in getting their voter registration in and their voter histories. And there are constituents who would like to go on to the Secretary of State's site and check the things that might be happening there. For instance, maybe somebody is changing to an independent, has been a Democrat or Republican or whatever, and is changing to an independent, or they have changed addresses. It could be any number of things. And constituents want to be able to view those records and view up-to-date records. The December 10th date was always an assumed date, and that's why I had put it in there in the first place. I talked to the county auditor in Brown County, and she said there really wasn't ever a date specifically set. But she said it was always just assumed. But since we're doing the July 15th, which gives them a little over a month to get those voter histories in, then we would do that with the general election, too. I've talked to some auditors, and they don't really see any problem with this. And I believe the Secretary of State is going to testify also. So very, very simple bill, actually, and I will stop right here, and I'll stand by for questions later. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents for House Bill 1051? Donuts?
Bribery, not good. Jason Gant, Secretary of State. I want to thank Representative Elliott for bringing this issue to our attention. We actually talked about it last fall, about this issue of making sure we had all the voter information into the voter files as soon as possible after each election, whether it's the primary election or the general election. And in discussion with the county auditors, this month and a week, depending on when the election is going to be plenty of time to get that information into the system. Most county auditors already do this, so it's going to be just fine. And it's going to help make sure that our system will be able to notify the public that on this day the system is up to date. So with that, I would encourage your support. And we should have caught it earlier about the July 15th and the December 10th. It just makes more sense that they were both on the 15th of the following month after the election. So hopefully that friendly little easy amendment will be granted. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1051? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carrie Gonzer, and I represent the South Dakota Association of County Officials. We do represent all auditors in the state of South Dakota. We do not see a problem with this bill whatsoever. As Secretary of State, Mr. Gant, stated earlier, most counties are getting this information in on time, and this would just speed up some of those that aren't. So no problem with this bill.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1051? Any other proponents? Hearing none, we will close proponent testimony. Any opponents? Seeing none, we will close testimony, waive the rebuttal, and open it up for committee questions or discussion. Representative Rausch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd have a question for the Secretary of State. My question is, as we look at this and we finally put a date in there in which to send things in, unlike us candidates who have deadlines also, it really didn't take bite until we put a penalty involved. Should we have a penalty on here for not complying so that they do that right away, or will nothing change because there's no such penalty in place?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I suppose you could go either way with that. I would feel comfortable leaving the language as is and putting the burden on my office to make sure that our voter registration file is up to date. As we found out by these other counties, the information is getting into the system anyway. There's only a few out there that aren't. And for those few, I think using this law and saying, come on, you've got to get this done, that we'll be able to monitor that fine. Should there become an issue in the future to where we're running into a constant problem of no one following this, then absolutely, I'll be first in line to say we need to put a penalty here to force this.
Any other questions? Representative Klocek.
Question for Secretary of State. Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, what is the number of counties that are not doing this in a timely fashion right now? How many of them are there?
Mr. Chairman, it was just a few, and I do not remember the number.
At a later date, can you get me that information?
You bet.
Like later today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fiker.
And I guess kind of the Secretary, wouldn't it be kind of cumbersome to put a fine on a county auditor? I mean, to me, I think that what you said is exactly right. The actually, a county would be responsible then for a fine if one was placed. Is there any other place in any of the laws that fines an auditor or a county commission for not applying with any of these laws?
Mr. Chairman, none jump into mind on a specific example. But when we're dealing with elections, And we have tremendous auditors across the state that are very great at making sure that we're sticking to exactly what the law says. And when county auditors are demanding candidates and other people follow the law exactly, they look at themselves and try and be as perfect as possible. And that's what would take place with this law.
Just a follow-up comment. I, too, had visited with the Brown County Auditor, and she said that they had been complying with that and that there was no problem, and I think that I think it's a good idea the way it's written.
Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The number 12 sticks in my mind. Representative Klocek. However, I did not want to come to this session and say the names of the counties who are responsible for doing this. I mean, that would be very embarrassing. And we can get the names certainly for you. And it seems to be the same ones all the time. You could argue that small counties should have their voter registration things in faster than larger counties, but then they don't have as much help either. And so I really think that that's why I didn't bring the names at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kirkby.
Thank you. Representative Elliott, is it your attempts with 1051 to change that date in December to the 15th to reflect some continuing with July 15th?
Yes. Yes.
Chairman, I make that motion.
Second.
All right. So the motion has been made to change line 12. The word 10th to 15th. Any discussion? None? The committee will take action on that motion, and it'll be a voice vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. 1051 is so amended. Any other discussion, questions, or action? Representative Kirkby.
Mr. Chairman, motion do pass House Bill 1051 as amended.
Second.
1051, Dielstra. Representative Dielstra. Any discussion?
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I think it's quite obvious to improve the odds of passing any bill in House local government is to follow any bill that was sponsored by Representative Kirkby.
Any further discussion, comments? Hearing none, the motion is due pass on House Bill 1051. The clerk will call the roll. All those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay.
Representative Dielstra?
Aye.
Feigert?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Magstad?
Aye.
Munsterman?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Rausch?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Porno?
Aye.
Paulson?
Aye.
Venner?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Kirkby?
Aye.
Majority ayes.
House Bill 1051 will go to the floor with a due pass motion. Representative Olson.
I move consent.
Second.
All those in favor of consent, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
House Bill 1051 will not be on consent. It will go to the floor with a due pass motion. Anything else to come before the good of the committee? If not, House local government is adjourned.
Or whoever, yeah.